Basic Bananas.
Hi and welcome back to Basic Bananas Radio. Today I've got a very awesome guest with me. I'm really excited to have Valerie Koo with us today on this episode. Valerie is the National Director of the Australian Writers' Centre, which is the country's leading centre for writing courses. And they've helped over 18,000 students from all around the world to get published, change careers, and also achieve their writing dreams. She's also a journalist, a keynote speaker, and a national small business commentator. And Valerie is really passionate about harnessing the power of storytelling in the world of business. And that's one of the things that I really want to talk to Valerie about and share with you, the listener. Valerie is also co-host of the popular podcast So You Want to Be a Writer, and she's the editor of Latte Magazine. And also she's written a book which is called Power Stories, which you might know. It's called Power Stories, the 8 stories you must tell to build an epic business. Welcome, Valerie.
Thanks for having me today.
You are so welcome. Thank you for making time to share your gold nuggets with our listeners. Now, I've shared a little bit about you, but can you tell us a little bit mainly how you slipped into this world of creativity and writing and being an entrepreneur?
Well, I guess it's an interesting start because I actually began my life as an accountant. So
really?
Very, very different.
I love hearing that. That's crazy.
Yeah, so I did accounting and economics at university, and I then went to climb the corporate ladder by joining a professional services firm. It was PwC. And so, you know, I was spending my day surrounded by numbers and spreadsheets and ledgers and all that kind of thing. But I think that throughout all of that, there was always this creative side inside me, because when I was at school, I used to love English. I used to love writing. At the time, I won the English competition 5 out of the 6 years of high school. But for some reason, I didn't pursue that path. So I guess it's kind of interesting because it's something that I came to later in life. You know, I ended up becoming a magazine journalist and then a magazine editor, and then also writing, not only blogging, but also writing that book that you mentioned. And I think that I just really passionate about helping people understand that, you know, they don't have to be born with some kind of, you know, creative gene that they discover from when they are younger. They need to just follow their passions, and that they can give in to their creativity. They can actually pursue a creative career that pays the money, which I think that people who go into business in the corporate world think that that's not possible. But in fact, I think that people who go into business in the corporate world actually have an edge, because they if they let themselves be creative, the great thing is that it's underpinned by a business head. So they understand then the steps that they need to take on a more strategic and tactical level in order to make their creativity pay. So that's kind of how I sort of, you know, where I'm coming from, because I think that the two can coexist and that you can make money from your creative pursuits. And my particular creative pursuit is that I love writing. Sure, I do other things as well. You know, I paint and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But my particular passion is writing. And I love the fact that I get paid for doing it. And it's a far cry from what I used to do when I used to get paid for, you know, adding up numbers.
That is such a great story. And I didn't actually know that about you. And I'm glad that I did ask, because I was going to ask you, you know, I mean, accounting and creativity seem to be so far apart. But that's a really bad way to think about it too, because I was going to ask you, we get a lot of small business owners that think that they're not creative. So I was going to get your opinion on, do you think that everyone has some sort of creativity, and even maybe what is creative? Because as you were explaining your story, I was thinking, you know what, everyone can be creative in different ways and in different areas of their business maybe. So what do you think about this whole topic about creativity? Does everyone have it? Are some born with it? Do you have to take courses to be creative? What's your take on that?
I absolutely think that we're all born with creativity within us, but I think that some of us suppress it and some of us let it out. So I think the key message there is to make sure that you understand that you are creative, and that you just need to give yourself permission to let that creativity shine. So the thing is, we've got strengths in different areas. What someone might be great at, you know, drawing, but somebody might be great at writing, somebody else might be great at singing or whatever. But your creativity is something that maybe you need to discover. You don't necessarily, and it doesn't necessarily have to be one of those arty pursuits, but perhaps you have a really creative way of approaching solving problems, or you have a really creative way of marketing your business. I don't know. Everyone's slightly different. But I think the important thing is to give yourself a go, trust yourself, and don't automatically assume, oh, okay, well, I need a, you know, I'm not creative, so I need a social media person to set up my accounts, or I'm not creative, so I can't think of a good idea for marketing. You may subsequently engage the services of an agency to implement some of your ideas, but I don't think you should hand over that responsibility to them, because that's sort of a little bit of abdicating responsibility as well. I think that if you've got some ideas in the back of your head, you know, it's worthwhile exploring them and it's worthwhile discussing them, because you never know if they come from you, and if it's something that you're really passionate about, that chances are that it's going to work. You may just need a little bit of help to implement your ideas, that's all.
Yeah, I agree. And we see so many businesses in all different industries that you would think, oh, you know, they're not very creative, but then they come out with the craziest and the best ideas when it comes to marketing. Like, you know, people like accountants and bookkeepers and lawyers. And even just the other day, we had a landscaper who had some really good ideas, a tiler, and just different industries that you would think, or they even would think, well, I'm just going to get a marketing agency to come up with stuff. But they actually have the best ideas that are in line with their own brand. And that's really cool. I think that's really awesome. Now, when it comes to creating content, obviously for your business, for your blog, for your marketing pieces, what do you think makes good content? Because there's so much content out there. What's good content?
Authenticity and storytelling. I think that what's really important is to write from your own voice, to write what you really think, write the ideas that are in your head. Too many people I see try to emulate other people. You know, like they have a role model, or they think so-and-so is doing that really well, I'm going to copy what they're doing. You know, not copy completely, but, you know, go have a similar approach. But even though that's useful to get ideas, what you need to do is something that really resonates with you, that you feel passionate about, and that that is really what you think. And the other part of it, as I mentioned, is storytelling. I think that sometimes we can fall into the trap of just pithy little sentences that, you know, say, check out this infographic, it's really good. Or there was a, you know, study released and this is what I think. And sometimes we forget to tell the story behind what we're trying to say. And it's stories that people actually engage with, not a simple infographic. So think about the story behind behind your message. And that's what my book is all about, power stories. The 8 stories you must tell to build an epic business. Because when you can pull out those powerful stories, it's those stories about yourself and about your business that's really going to resonate with people, and that they're going to remember, and that they're going to share with other people.
Mm. And that is such a powerful point. We've done a lot of split testing over the last few years where we go a little bit more, you know, how you say authentic and storytelling. So one message would be a little bit more just bland, a bit gray, just normal, what everyone else is doing. And then the other message that we send out would be a little bit more personal, just a bit more about what's happening. And it can be just something, you know, very small, or I just went swimming at the Bondi icebergs and it was freezing, and then tying it into the story. And the ones with the storytelling in it and with that authentic voice in it always get a better response.
Yeah, definitely.
In terms of storytelling, can you share a couple of your, you know, you've got the 8 stories you must tell. Are you able to, do we have time to summarize some of those types, or am I going too crazy here?
I don't think we have time to summarize all 8, but I will say that one of the most underutilized stories that, you know, that small business owners should think about is their customer story. And I think it's when you show, when you let your customer be the hero in the story, but the real hero is actually you, because it's because of you, or it's because of your business, or it's because of your product or service that the customer was able to achieve what they wanted to achieve. And I think that it's underutilized because it's sometimes hard to collect the stories. I think that often we know that it's like a customer will give us feedback and we say, oh, great service or great product, but that's not a story. That's just a nice compliment. I think we need to go that step further and find out, well, why did the customer come to me in the first place? Why did they choose their product? After they used that product or service, what were the results that I was able to give them? And how's their life changed, you know, as a result of that product or service? And I think that even though we know a little bit of the customer story, it's actually the tip of the iceberg. And what we need to do is find out the rest of the story. Because when we can find out the rest of the story and we get the permission from the customer, of course, and we can use that in our marketing materials or our newsletters or our blog or as case studies on our website, it's those stories that are going to resonate with potential customers, because the potential customers can see where they might end up. So I definitely think that the customer story is very underutilized. And I don't mean just a simple testimonial where, you know, so-and-so is great. That's not a story, right? It's just a very short testimonial. I think that if we take the time to dig a little bit deeper and get a good customer story, it can do wonders for our business.
Yeah, and how easy is it for any of our listeners to just dig a little bit deeper, and instead of telling, of just getting a testimonial, actually finding those details that you mentioned and finding those little details? You know, I always find it so easy to read blog posts that have details like the sky was blue and the sun was shining and the birds were tweeting. Even though there's a lot of detail in it, it actually puts you in the story.
Yes, that's right. But even though I think you've raised an interesting point, because it is easy to get those details, but so many business owners don't, because it's not super easy. It actually takes one little step. And a lot of business owners, for some reason, don't want to take that little step. So if you can be bothered to take that little step, that will give you a competitive edge.
And that little step is basically picking up the phone and speaking to your customers.
It could be picking up the phone and speaking to your customers, but you might think about it, think about creating a system to make it really easy. Because I can tell you countless small business owners who will tell you, I don't even have the time to pick up the phone. I barely have time to go to the toilet when I want to, because they're so run off their feet, they're really time poor. But if you build a system into your business where perhaps people are sent a survey that that asks them the right questions, that makes it easy for them to respond, whether they are in front of their computer or on their mobile or whatever, then it's something that you don't have that barrier of, oh, I've got to make time to pick up the phone, and what if they're not there and I leave a message and I don't want them to call me back in the next hour because then I've got a meeting. You know what I mean?
I do. But I don't, I'm very big, you know, I agree. Most people say, oh, I don't have time to pick up the phone. Well, that's not good enough. If you're in business, you better bloody pick up that phone and you speak to your customers, because they're the ones that will tell you exactly what they need and want. But I know what you mean. But I don't accept when business owners come with those excuses. Why are you in business then? You might as well just close the shop.
Very true.
Now, when it comes to blogging, you are a very renowned and, you know, a really looked up, is that a word, looked up blogger, and people love reading your blog, and you share stories about your pets and your is it cats, I think, or dogs?
I have cats and dogs, so I have two cats and three dogs.
There we go. So you share your cat and dog stories and people love reading your blog. You've also been I think you got a prize for being under the top 25 blogs in Australia. And so you're obviously doing something right. So can you share some of your blogging strategies with our listeners? How often would you recommend for a small business owner to put something together? How do you structure your posts? How long should they be, etc.?
Firstly, if you're going to blog, you shouldn't blog unless you plan to actually do it regularly. And by regularly, I don't mean every day or anything like that. But, you know, if it's 6 months between posts, then it's probably not frequent enough. So I would say that in the ideal world, I would like to blog, you know, 3 times a week, but that can be difficult when you're running a business as well. So I would say to other business owners that, you know, if you're blogging at least every 3 weeks or you know, more frequently than that, then you're going okay. I think that you need to blog about what you're interested in and what you're passionate about. But I think that you need to think about, if you're blogging for business reasons, that is, I think you need to think about what your personal brand is and what you stand for, and that you ensure that you're not blogging about things that are at odds with your personal brand. People blog for different reasons, though. If you're blogging just because you want to journal your life, or you want to talk about your kids, or if you want to, you know, chart your progress through a particular experience in life, that's different. So I'm speaking specifically about business bloggers, or people who want to blog, you know, and represent their business in a sense. Mm. So I think that you need to blog about what you're interested in. Make sure it's not at odds with your personal brand. And personally, I think I don't actually blog by trying to link bait people. I don't try and think of keywords that people might be searching for. I just blog about what I'm interested in and passionate about. And in terms of the – people always ask me, how about the length of your post? And and so many people say that they've read that it should be 400 words or no more than 700 words. And I just say, as long as you're writing something of quality, it doesn't matter how long your post is supposed to be. As long as every word counts, you know what I mean? Then you're not just writing fluff or anything like that. You're writing things of value in your 400 words or 700 words or 3,000 words. I think that bloggers like Tim Ferriss, you know, the author of the 4-Hour Work Week, have shown that some of his most popular posts are the 3,000-word posts. So I think that what's important is that doesn't matter what the length is, as long as every word is valuable and you're not rambling. Mm. Having said that, if you are going to do a 3,000-word post, logic will simply tell you that you need to make sure that it's broken up into sections, so in subheadings, so it's easy for people to read, and it's supported by pictures so that it's not just 3,000 words of grey text. So, yeah, they're my sort of key tips when it comes to blogging.
I love that. And I love that you really highlight the fact that content really matters and length doesn't really matter. Because obviously there's, you know, Tim Ferriss is a great example. And then on the other spectrum, we have Seth Godin, for example. He sometimes sends like 2 sentences in his blog.
That's right.
And it's great. It's always exactly as you say, every word counts.
Yes.
And it's good content. Now, what are some of your favorite blogs that you would like to share? Obviously, your own ones are awesome. We can share them. And then what are some blogs that you read regularly?
Obviously, I do read Seth Godin's blog. I like to dip in and out of different blogs and explore different blogs. So at the moment, because, you know, I'm the National Director of the Australian Writers Centre, and we run an annual competition called the Best Australian Blogs Competition. And it's a great opportunity for me to discover new blogs. And they're not all business blogs. There's also, you know, food blogs and personal blogs and lifestyle blogs, all that sort of thing. So what I'm currently doing is getting to know all of the winners and finalists. And, you know, you can have a look at them online at writerscentre.com.au and find the list of winners and finalists, because they are the best blogs in Australia. You know, and like I said, they're not all business blogs, so you will find commentary blogs and, you know, a variety of other blogs, travel blogs. And so, yeah, I'm going through those at the moment, and I'm finding it fascinating because people are so the blogosphere is so diverse. You can find, you know, fascinating fashion blogs right next to amazing blogs about being Indigenous, right next to, you know, blogs that about people who travel the world or who, you know, blog about their recipes.
I love it. Also, one other role that you're occupying at the moment is you're mentoring entrepreneurs through the Key Person of Influence program. And I was wondering if you can share some of your favorite marketing strategies that you use for small business owners or entrepreneurs?
Well, one of the things that I do talk about in the Key Person of Influence program, which I love being involved in because the type of entrepreneurs that it attracts they're just awesome. They have such incredible energy and they have such incredible enthusiasm for their business that being around that energy is palpable. It's wonderful and it's a great community for people to become involved with, not just because of what they're going to learn from a practical point of view, but because of who they are surrounded by. And I think that is an important point, actually, when it comes to growing your business or marketing your business, is Jim Rohn, the business philosopher, had a famous saying, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And I think it's so important, particularly if your friends are not entrepreneurs themselves, to hang around other entrepreneurs who are, who are go-getting and who have that kind of attitude of growing their business and marketing, because you can learn so much from other entrepreneurs, even if they're in completely different industries, on what you can do for your business. One of the things that I do talk about is the importance of raising your profile, because, to be a key person of influence, to be a leader in your industry, you need to ensure that you have the appropriate profile for your industry so that you you make it clear to people what you stand for and what your business is about. People aren't mind readers, and potentially they could go to your website, but you've got to make sure that your website conveys that the right information. I've seen many websites that are dire, and then after spending 10 minutes reading them, I still don't know what the person is about or what the business is about. So it's very important to be really clear on what you want to stand for or what you want your profile to be, and then be really clear on how you convey that to people. And that's often through the power stories, as I've mentioned, but also on your just very practical aspects on, what kind of bio you should have on your social media handles, and how you should introduce yourself when you're at a networking event. That all compounds and gives people a certain impression of yourself and builds your profile in a certain way. If you're not being proactive in shaping your profile, then quite simply your profile will be shaped for you, and you don't want that. You want to drive that.
It's such an important point. And how often do we meet someone at an event or at a party or somewhere in the street, and after exchanging a few words, you walk away and you have no clue what the person does. And that's a really good point that you raise here, is, as part of the marketing mix, you need to have a really strong profile, and you need to be able to shape it. You need to have a really good website and obviously have a good pitch when you go networking, and also leverage the power stories. And those are all things that you guys talk about at the Brand Accelerator for the Key Person of Influence. And I highly recommend our listeners to attend that one day event, because they will get a lot out of it. Let's share the link for where they can register for that now, and then I have one or two more questions. So the link is keypersonofinfluence.com.au, isn't it, to book a ticket to come to that?
That's right. And the Brand Accelerator program, which is a one-day event and very affordable as well, is such great fun, and you get so much value for money and so much information from a variety of different keynote speakers and mentors, and I guarantee you'll leave learning something, if not many things.
Absolutely. I'll post a link below in the show notes as well, so people can find that one day event, and they run them in Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane, and even overseas. We have listeners overseas too, in London and Miami. So I'll post a link below so you guys can book in. I'm going to put you on a spot just a little tiny bit, because it's one of the questions we finish up with. What's been one of the funniest or weirdest thing that has ever happened to you in your business?
I think that, I go to small business events, and as you've mentioned, I occasionally, or more than occasionally, blog or Instagram about my pets, my two cats and my three dogs, and because I love them, I think they're adorable and I want to tell the world and show pictures of how cute they are. So I always think it's a little bit funny when, I turned up at an event once and I went to register and, I told them who I was, and the first thing the lady said to me at the registration desk was, did you get that cat spew out of your carpet? And I'm like, oh, gee, maybe I'm really oversharing here. And the other day I was at Brisbane Airport and I was in the lounge and a man came up to me and said, excuse me, are you Valerie Koo? Did you speak in an event in Brisbane a couple of weeks ago? I said, oh, yes, I did. And he said, I just have one question. How's your cat?
Oh, my
sometimes
God.
I do think that perhaps I do overshare about my cat. I don't really care, though, because I think they're adorable. But, you know, it connects with some people and it gives me a laugh and it gives them a laugh as well. And after that, you know, that opens the conversation and we end up talking business. But it's a great way to introduce ourselves to each other.
Yeah, it's a great conversation opener. You should upload some. Do you have some cat and dog videos that you share on YouTube?
Oh, we used to take a lot more videos than we do these days. Now, you know, we mainly take photos, but we might get back into the videos.
That's so funny. People love watching those. I actually watched a cat video last night that somebody sent me on YouTube. It was just this cat that just jumped onto this girl's head. She had her hair wrapped into a towel after washing it, and the cat was just hanging on her head like that. It's pretty hilarious.
See, it's irresistible.
It's irresistible. It is irresistible. It's a good little conversation starter. What are you reading at the moment? What are you reading at the moment? What book? I'm sure you have probably 20 books on the go. And what are some of your favorite books for small business owners?
Okay, so I just finished a book called Living the 80-20 Way by Richard Koch, and I read it in one sitting, couldn't put it down. It was fantastic, and it's very relevant for business owners, but also for your life. But I read it mainly with my business hat on, and it really helped me, even though I'm very familiar, as I'm sure everyone is, with the 80-20 rule. It's something that the way that the book was written was great, and it really helped me understand what I needed to cut out and what I needed to keep, in a sense, from my life and from my business. The other book that I'm just about to start reading is called Flash Boys by Michael Lewis. And Michael Lewis is an incredible author. And he wrote, Moneyball, which became the film with Brad Pitt.
Right.
He wrote Liar's Poker. He wrote New Thing about Jim Clark, who founded Netscape. He is one of the best nonfiction authors of our time. And I know that as soon as I start reading that book, I'm going to be completely absorbed in it. So I'm a bit scared because I know that all life stops when I'm reading Michael Lewis. So, yeah.
I love when that happens, when you find one of those books and you almost just can't work anymore. You just stay on the couch and just read all day, and then you realize, okay, maybe I should have done a few other things today. It's awesome when you find that. Now, where can people find out more about you, and where can they follow you on your blogs? I'll also post a link in the show notes too.
So my personal blog is at valeriekoo.com. That's K-H-O-O. My business of the Australian Writers' Centre is writerscentre.com.au. So it's kind of interesting to check both out, because my blog is my personal blog, and the Writers' Centre being my business is kind of where I implement all the strategies that I talk about.
Awesome, fantastic. So I'll share all the links also for the Key Person of Influence Brand Accelerator Day below, and also these two links. So thank you so much, Valerie, for sharing your awesome tips today with our audience.
Thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome. Thanks, Valerie.
Basic Bananas.